Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and I'm joined now by Kent Kaiser. He's from Michigan, but he's traveled around the world. He has hunting and guiding businesses in New Zealand and Alaska, and we'll talk to him about that. And he's written a new book about some of his experiences that I think you'll find pretty amazing. Kent, thanks so much for joining us.
Dan, I'm so happy to be here, and hope you had a great Merry Christmas also.
Yes, I did, and I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, about your businesses. You have two businesses, and they each have a separate website. One is AlaskanQuest.com, and the other is, in New Zealand, NZQuest.com. Tell us about those businesses.
Well, the one in Alaska, Dan, is a full-blown custom business where I take people from all over the world, and mostly here in the lower 48 of America, and whatever their desires are that they've always dreamed of doing in Alaska, I've been up there really my whole life, and I know it like the back of my hand. So I put all these trips together, and really no two are alike. I do offer set tours, but it ends up always being custom made.
Mm-hmm.
And I take people to do everything from getting up close to grizzly bears and photographing and viewing those to basically fly fishing to wilderness raft trips, fish wheel experiences. You name it, I can get it done up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in New Zealand?
Then the one in New Zealand is quite different. And, of course, both of the places are just magnificent in beauty. But the one in New Zealand I do world-class hunting from. And that I use a helicopter, and I fly around in the mountains in the most wildest places of New Zealand and shoot red stag, Himalayan tar, chamois. The list of the animals they have there goes on and on. And then also I offer lobster tours along the Abel-Tasman Sea there.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you can go in one day from snow-capped mountains in a helicopter to shooting trophy animals to cruising along a sandy beach coastline, catching lobsters, looking at the killer whales and seal colonies, and relaxing.
It sounds like, and we have talked to other folks who've done similar things, it sounds like a fascinating place and some place I'd like to visit someday. I've just never had the opportunity.
Yeah, I think you would find it quite up your alley. It's a magnificent scenery again. It's, to me, it's like crushing parts of Alaska and Hawaii together.
Wow.
And it's just fabulous. You know, and I live on the South Island predominantly when I'm down there, and it's about the size of Colorado, the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's just breathtaking. You can drive around in a day's time, and the scenery changes so fast that there's no doubt you can see in that small island down on the south end all parts of pieces of 50 states in America in one day's drive. It changes so drastically. So,
wow.
The scenery is quite amazing.
And unfortunately, in these two beautiful places, you had some experiences that led to just an incredible series of encounters and got you into trouble with the law in both in Alaska and in New Zealand. And you published a book about it, which you call Hard Way Back. And it basically details your fight with the U.S. government and the New Zealand government over charges that you say were totally trumped up. Why did you write the book?
You know, I was inspired in many ways to write the book. One would be spiritually. I mean, I reconnected down there with my spiritual side in God while I was down there going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of it, it's for the outdoorsman. You know, there's a lot of corruption going on that people sometimes turn their head. And if the federal government say, hey, he's guilty, it's almost a taken that, hey, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wrote the book. And I also wrote the book to open up everybody's eyes on how the federal government operates and how they mean to if they get their talons in you. And, hey, everything on me was trumped up. And you see, I got out of all of it and pretty much as my own lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Even had a federal agent fly to New Zealand who stated all these charges against me. And I caught him right in perjury over six counts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to wipe that underneath the rug, and they continued doing their dastardly ways.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I wrote the book to chronicle a lot of things that I've been through in my life. You know, I've been through Kodiak grizzly bear attacks, and as we're talking right here, battled the government. I was facing 52 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I was facing over $2 million in fines.
Mm-hmm.
They jailed me in a foreign country due to what this man had told the government in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they took his side, and I had to fight my way out of that. And, hey, I'm sitting here today talking to you as a free man because I won all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I wanted to show people that you can fight when you're in a bad situation like that. And exactly, there's a lot of pointers and tips how to basically maneuver through this. And if you fight hard and do the right things, you do have a chance. And I did detail basically what the government will try to do to you in these circumstances.
Well, yeah, you document virtually every step along the way, and your former wife, Victoria, who was basically acting as a legal aide as you were fighting this battle, doing a lot of research for you. I was amazed at the number of letters and emails that you had exchanged back and forth with both governments. But without getting into all the details, what started this? Why, you know, what did the charges really stem from?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. And let me touch base just on that, and I'll tell you why. But, you know, there's another big pointer. If you have somebody capable that can write letters like my ex-wife did as a paralegal, and me doing the detective work and the lowering side of it, I mean, that's what they want to do, is drain you and take all your money and leave you helpless and ruin your marriage, ruin your life and everything else. But if you fight and do things right, you don't allow that to happen like I did in a way.
Well, back to how it started, Kent, what was the initial charge that got this whole thing going?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what was. I was on a wilderness river doing a rafting trip, and I floated in the middle of nowhere. You got to fly in, so it takes some pretty prestigious people with float planes to go into where I go in the wilderness there. And I floated down this river for the first time in my life, and I saw a trapper's cabin. And I got out to investigate that because it intrigued me. Just wondered what kind of individual built that 150 years ago with the sod roof and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my buddy got out, and behind that, about 150 yards, was like a mini mansion that was being built.
Mm-hmm.
And it was three stories high. And as we were there, a plane started flying in. Apparently they were building it. And the person who owned it was a pretty wealthy doctor. And I eventually found out his partner was a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing things in there that only I can speculate on, that they didn't want me around.
Mm-hmm.
And we had words and a confrontation, and he pretty much told me I have ways of keeping people out of here, and this is where all this stemmed from.
Hmm. And then the federal special agent, who was new on the job at the time, is the one who came after you first, and it just spiraled from there.
Well, in my opinion... And, well, there's no doubt the next time I floated down that river, because I wasn't going to do as he told me. It was open land to anybody. You know, it was federal and state land. I had access at my own free will to float down there anytime I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
When I came through there, yeah, he had the federal agent there on the bank. I don't know what kind of coincidence it was, whether he had checked my flight plans coming in there or what, but he was there waiting on me. And after that, I had many, many years of... dealings with that special agent.
Mm-hmm. And what did they charge you with?
Well, I was charged, basically, and this is the crazy part, because I have an outdoor business up there that I run, and I'm up there a lot. My folks have lived there for 45 years. I grew up there. They charged me with a lot of paperwork charges, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I went to get tags and a license. I even have an Alaska driver's license. And I went to get my tags, and I said, well, I'm up here so much. What do you want me to do on these tags for a Kodiak blacktail deer hunt? And they said, well, you might as well just go ahead and get the residency tags on everything.
Hmm.
So that's what I was doing. And exactly what they told me. I went to Fish and Game, and they told me to do that. So next thing I know, anything they could to trump up bad stuff on me, this federal agent did. So they charged me with a lot of paperwork violations, that I have a non-resident tag, a residence tag, things of that nature. And it stemmed up into a Lacey Act thing, is because I took a deer head from Alaska back to my other home in Michigan. And they said because I crossed the state lines, believe it or not, that's a federal offense.
Sure.
That is a 5 years in prison and $250,000 fine.
Hmm.
And then they piled on a bunch more charges on there to give me 9 felonies and over $2 million in fines.
Hmm. Now, to cut to the chase and wrap this up here, because we don't have much time left, you ended up entering into plea bargains in both cases. And why did you do that instead of fighting it?
No, down in New Zealand, I won fair and square.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, in New Zealand, I won fair and square. And again, I believe it was due to the perjured act of the special agent.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to brush it underneath the table. They had no choice. If he wanted to take it further, the judge down there, he knew that this would blow up and there'd be a big spotlight. And they didn't want a government official flying in from a foreign country and doing this down there. So they had to brush it away. I won that one fair and square. On my own free will, I flew back to America and faced these charges. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to. I could have stayed in New Zealand, lived like a king, said, hey, screw you, I don't have need to do any of this. Mm-hmm. But I flew up to Alaska on my own free will, and there to do the plea bargain. At that time, they put so much pressure on my marriage that I sort of wanted to resolve my marriage and this and that, and I didn't want to go through a three-year battle with the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew this is probably the only thing I do regret, not taking them to court and fighting it all the way through and mm-hmm. wiping it all out. So mm-hmm. they wanted to plea bargain with me. So I said, okay, I will do that to wipe this out as fast as I can and move on down the line, because mm-hmm. I was pretty exhausted after fighting the New Zealand government also.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, yeah, it wipes you out. And
yep.
so without basically my ex-wife in my corner to help me with all the legal work and everything else, I just thought the best thing was at the time to go ahead and make a plea deal and go away with it. But I'll tell you this. That's another thing in the book. 98% of the federal cases are plea deals, because this is what the federal government does.
Mm-hmm.
They get you in there, they throw all this giant stuff on top of you, and then they want to make a plea deal. It's all about winning and losing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, even if you're guilty or not guilty, you will take a small plea deal just to get away with it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our tactics. That's,
wow.
that's another part of the book.
Wow. Well, as we wrap this up, your message to your reader, what's the bottom line? What do you want your reader to take from this?
Well, I would say, again, it goes back to the spiritual part, I would say. Hey, when you're facing a lot of adversity and there's no hope, and hey, you think it's all over with, you know what I did? I'll tell you, Dan, I climbed to a hillside down in New Zealand after my wife left the country. I'm sitting down there all by myself, nobody but me and God to sit on the hilltop, and I prayed. And you know what? When I was doing that, I'm a very strong guy
mm-hmm.
mentally and physically
mm-hmm.
and battle a lot of my battles. But, hey, when I give it all to God down there, I said I just had enough of this stuff. You ought to see the miracles in the book that open up.
Hmm.
So there is hope to everybody out there when you think there is none, and that's what I did. And I tell you what, the miracles in that book will be one right after the other.
All right. Well, Kent, thanks so much for joining us. And your website, hardwayback.com, tells all about the book and tells people how they can get it as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Kent Kaiser, his book is Hard Way Back. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead.